Never have we been so keen on hippity hopping off to somewhere else. Good morning. Welcome. It is our book pick segment for this week. It's Tuesday. It's time for book picks from one of my favorite humans on the planet, Susanna Hermans of Oblong Books and Millerton and Rhinebeck, joining us to present some of the finest books. There's a story behind this particular collection of books, and instead of me trying to fumble my way through it, I'll ask Susanna to describe because, well, first of all, good morning.
Good morning.
Very nice to see you. Lovely to see you.
Likewise.
So you had this great honor.
Yes.
Which now gives you the opportunity to talk about a group of books that have to do with that great honor.
Yes. Thank you. That's a beautiful setup, Joe. This year, I have the truly extraordinary honor to be asked to be a judge for the National Book Award for Young People's Literature. I didn't even know this was something I could have dreamt would have happened to me. Oh, they've only been including booksellers on the judging panels just the last few years. And I'm one of five judges for this award. And the other four are incredibly acclaimed authors for kids. And it has been, it's sort of like, what did you do on your summer vacation? Well, I read books. I read all of the books. And about a week or two ago, we announced the long list of 10 books. That we have come up with as our best 10 books of the year.
Okay. So we're going to go through these 10 books. All of them, now, one will win, nine will not.
Correct.
But they're all great.
They're all phenomenal. I'm very proud of the list that we've come up with.
All right.
I think I've spoken to a lot of people, especially in the last few months, who aren't really aware of the children's book world. Either they're grown without children or their kids are grown and they're just sort of not aware of what's being published for kids these days. And my goodness, there is an incredible depth of work happening, stories being told for children and young adults. The books we have here today will range in age, reader age from 8 to 18, and adult beyond that, of course.
Yeah.
As I like to say, there's no reason a kid's book should only be read by kids. grown-ups, if you need a treat, please read one of these books. They're so amazing. So the first two of our long list are both what we call middle grade, ages 8 to 12. So the first one is Clayton Bird Goes Underground by Rita Williams Garcia. This is the story of a young black boy who has just lost his grandfather. His grandfather passes away. His grandfather was this jazz musician, this incredible musician, and he would let Clayton play with him and his band on occasion. His mom was not a fan of her dad's music, and so after he passes, she tries to remove all of the stuff from the house that reminds the family of the music. And Clayton goes on this journey to reconnect with his grandfather and reconnect with this music. The rhythm of the writing is just beautiful. Rita has previously been a Newbery Honor author, and it's just a beautiful, rhythmic, jazz-like story about this boy and his grandfather, and it takes place over one day.
Clayton Bird Goes Underground by Rita Williams Garcia.
Next up, I would say, is probably for ages 10 and up. It's called Orphan Island by Laurel Snyder. This one it's sort of set in, not really a magical place, but basically it's set on an island where there are 9 children. And each year a boat arrives and a new young child is brought to the island. And the oldest child gets in the boat and leaves. They've made their own life on this island. You don't know why they're there. You don't know what happens to them when they leave. But our main character, it is her time to go, and she does not want to. She chooses not to go. And what that means and how that upsets the balance. And it's a beautiful sort of allegory for childhood and growing up and having to say goodbye to the things that maybe are most comfortable and feel most like home to you.
The name of the book is Orphan Island by Laurel Snyder.
Now we're moving into young adult. So these are mostly for ages 12 or 14 and up, depending on the sort of content or intensity, I would say. Every kid, of course, is different. So one 12-year-old and one 14-year-old are not the same. So we have first American Street by Ibi Zobois. This is a debut novel about a young woman who's immigrated from Haiti, and her she's come with her mom to she gets off the plane in JFK. She goes to change planes to go to Detroit to meet up with the rest of their family, and her mother is detained at customs or at immigration. Her mother is taken from her. She doesn't know where her mom has gone, but she is sent on. She's old enough to be sent on. So she gets to Detroit, meets this family of hers that she doesn't know very well, and is trying to struggle with both being an immigrant in a city she's never seen and losing her mom and figuring out what has happened to her mother, who's been sent to an immigration detention center with very little help to help her get through immigration.
Right.
It is stunning. The immigrant voice in this book is unlike anything I've read in a long time. And I think especially with the immigration stories that are happening today, this is an especially timely book for our teenagers to read.
The name of the book is American Street by Ibi Zobois.
Far From the Tree by Robin Benway is our next book. This is a story of three teenagers. The first is a young woman who has just had a baby. She's had a baby. She's given her baby up for adoption. She's found the perfect family for her child. And now she's trying to be a person again. And part of that is trying to track down her own birth mother. She was adopted herself. She finds out that she has two siblings who she did not know about. And she goes on a journey to meet them. So the book is told through three voices of the girl and her brother and sister as they find a way to make their own family and are all dealing with amazing issues in their lives. And it's a really special story.
Far From the Tree, What Does It Mean to Be a Family by Robin Benway.
Next up is All the Wind in the World by Samantha Mabry. This one is very different. It's a real magical realism story. It is about, it's set in the not too distant future, and it is about a young couple who are migrant workers. They work in the fields cutting maguey, which is a type of cactus, and it's a very brutal, physically exhausting job. And something bad happens. They have to leave the place they're working. They go to work at a new farm ranch, so to speak, where bad things are happening to the workers, and they are not sure if it is a spiritual sort of magical curse, perhaps, on the ranch, or what. But the writing in this is exceptionally lyrical and beautiful. And this sort of sinister undercurrent of something bad is happening, and you aren't really sure what it is, and you kind of have to imagine and figure it out yourself. It's a really unique book. I haven't read anything quite like it.
All the Wind in the World by Samantha Mabry.
All right, we're halfway.
You're doing great.
Okay, good. Okay, so next up we have I Am Not Your Perfect Mexican Daughter by Erica L. Sanchez. This also has a really unique voice. There's something in this narrator that reminds me a little bit of Holden Caulfield, because there are times where she's just insufferable, but you love her so much and you're rooting for her so hard. She's the our narrator is the daughter of immigrants. She is suffering with mental health issues, depression. Her sister, who was the perfect Mexican daughter, died suddenly, and she wants to figure out, she discovers some secrets about her sister, who had been so perfect, maybe was not so perfect after all. She's dead set on figuring out who her sister was and what that means for herself, and finding her way as she's growing up, and wanting to be her own person and not just the perfect Mexican daughter.
The name of the book is I Am Not Your Perfect Mexican Daughter. It is by Erica Sanchez.
Next up, we have What Girls Are Made Of by Alana K. Arnold. This is probably, I would say, the most the oldest book on our list. I would say maybe for 16 and up. It's absolutely stunning. Deals with some really difficult issues. It's about a young woman who has an abortion and what that how that affects her, but also more, I think more importantly, what her relationship is with her boyfriend, who she identifies herself as his girlfriend, and she is that is the most important part of right. her identity, which I think a lot of young women feel, and it's a, it can be a very dangerous feeling. The thing that makes this book especially unique is that in between the chapters are essays that the character has written that deal with feminism and mythology and magic. And there's some really interesting feminist thought happening in this book. It will be controversial. This book will be challenged in schools and libraries. But I believe it is one that is absolutely essential for young women to see put on the page.
Good stuff. What Girls Are Made Of by Alana Arnold.
Long Way Down by Jason Reynolds is up next. This one is a novel in verse. Jason Reynolds is a National Book Award, previous National Book Award finalist. He's really beloved in the children's book community. It's a very simple story, and it's told over the course of a couple of minutes. This is about a young man whose brother has recently died as the result of a shooting. I'm not 100% sure. I don't think it's necessarily gang related, but it's you know, a very inner city community. The rules of the game are you get revenge on the person who has killed your brother. So he gets his brother's gun. He steps into the elevator to start descending down to the main floor of his building, and as he's riding this elevator, on each floor, the door opens and someone steps in who is a member of his life who has been killed by gun violence. And he has a moment with that person to talk about life. It is really unique and stunning, and the kind of book, I mean, because it's in verse, you can read it in about 45 minutes and just a chills on the back of your neck.
I read this book. I got a copy earlier in the year, and I met Jason, who is an amazing human being.
Yes.
But the book is incredible. It's Long Way Down by Jason Reynolds.
The next one we have is You Bring the Distant Near by Metallie Perkins. This is really kind of different. It's a family saga told over multiple generations of a family who is from India. They've immigrated to New York after living in London for a number of years. And the daughters in this family are adjusting to American life and finding their identity. And they grow up, and then their daughters are adjusting to American life and identity. And it's really a beautiful look at Indian culture, at the immigrant story, and at what just sort of what it feels like to be a different kind of family. I feel like grown-ups who love a multi-generational family saga, this might be the one for you to try.
which is great. You Bring the Distant Near by Metallie Perkins, and cool cover, by the way.
It's a beautiful cover.
For what it's worth, cool cover.
Yep. And then last but not least, we have The Hate U Give by Angie Thomas. This has really been one of the best-selling young adult books of the year across the country. It's been on the Times bestseller list for weeks and weeks and weeks. And it's sort of, to sum it up really quickly, it's a Black Lives Matter novel. It is about a young woman who's in a car with her friend. They get pulled over. He gets shot by the cop who pulls them over. And she has to decide if she's going to speak out, if she's going to testify, if she's going to let her friends know that she was the one in the car. It's really riveting, and it's the book we need right now, this year. Angie Thomas is a debut author, and I think she's really done an incredible piece of work with this one.
The name of the book is The Hate U Give by Angie Thomas. You got through 10 books in like 15 minutes. Good for you.
That was, ooh.
And you read all those, and
you're
so you know them very well. I won't ask you which one you voted for, Because we'll find out the
That's
winner.
That's right. Well, the short list will be announced in a couple of weeks, and then the winner's announced in early November.
That's really exciting. Yeah. Congratulations.
Thank
that is
you.
Such a cool
it's,
thing.
It's and been a wonderful experience, and I feel like I know all of the books.
Good
like,
stuff.
In the world this year.
Well, you made us seem credible, and we thank you for that. For more information on the list and for the great work that Oblong does, and Susanna in particular, you can go to their website. It's oblongbooks.com, oblongbooks.com. They are in Rhinebeck and Millerton, and you can see Susanna's terrific list at wamc.org/bookpicks, and it'll be on the oblongbooks.com site as well.
Thank you. I did just want to mention we do have one event coming up in October for kids and families, and I'm so excited to be presenting it. We're hosting Kate DiCamillo.
I love her.
Who is a two-time Newbery Award winner. She's written The Tale of Despero.
Yes.
Because of Winn-Dixie, the Bink and Golly series. She is like the shining ray of light on children's literature. She'll be we're going to be hosting her at the Stissing Mountain High School in Pine Plains on Friday, October 13th. And it's her new book is called La La La. It is a picture book, and it's a book about hope. And it's really going to be an evening celebrating hope, which is something that we all need right now.
So, la, la,
yes,
la.
Get your tickets now.
Get your tickets. You can find out more information by going to oblongbooks.com. Oblongbooks.com. Susanna, a delight. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Joe.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.